Before we get too far, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but someone here had a birthday this week. Do you know who it is? It's Walt, who had a birthday this week. Woo! All right, he's 39, is that what he's? Okay. Yeah, and holding. All right. So Judy's going to give the word this morning, but before we get started, I have two questions for you. If you had an opportunity to interview God face to face, what would that question, you only had one question you could ask, what would that question be? Okay, now, just think about it. Don't have to answer. Just think about it. And then the second question would be, what do you think God would ask you? Right? So, we're going to start today's message with a short video clip that sort of reflects that. And if Daniel's ready to go, then we're ready to go.
I lost faith. I picture them giving up. It wasn't like that for me.
Hey, Gary.
What are you doing here?
I'm working on something. I'm doing an interview.
With who?
Paul Ash, with Arrow. I know who you are. I know all your work. I'm a fan. I cover religion for a secular paper. The stuff I write usually ends up in the lifestyle section. Okay, today is June 1st. Please say your name and spell it.
I'm God, G-O-D.
Okay, so you're God, one who created everything.
What do I tell the people who say you don't exist? Tell them the world they see is just that. Sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
I'm doing this interview and it's getting kind of weird. If I send you a headshot, could you check it out?
You traveled 7,000 miles into a war zone. All war changes people.
How many times do you want me to apologize?
Look, things happen. And how many times do I have to live through it?
Sarah just left me.
This is about Afghanistan.
No, I think it might be a bigger problem, an older problem.
You are about out of time.
You're saying?
Yes.
This interview, it's eating me up.
It's really an interview?
Yeah.
With God.
You're telling me to pray. Can't hurt.
I'd like to talk to you about salvation, Paul.
So you're here to save me.
Do you need saving?
And everyone?
We try to be good people, try to please you, and we need some answers. And where did you go? You have any idea how that feels?
Sometimes there aren't signs when someone's in trouble.
Paul, I've given you a great gift. But it's up to you to receive my gift before it's too late. Your life is not an audition for the afterlife.
I don't even know why I agreed to this.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
Interview with God. I love it.
You're kidding.
About time God made the front page. You disagree.
One of the things that it said, it's a gift from God. Do you receive it? Do you want it? My name is Judy, and I just want to say good morning, church. Good. Just wanted to show you that video. Fernando and I were talking about some of the things that we receive from God, and sometimes we take it for granted. And so just wanted to show you that as an incentive to start thinking if you had a chance to interview God, or if he got to ask you a question, how would you receive it? You know, this is just a movie. I'm not saying that it's really God. I'm just saying things to think about. So we've been talking about the core values that we at LifeSpring want to live by, and that is, can anyone tell me the four core values that we've talked about? Does anyone know them? The Word, worship, warfare, and witness. Good. Do you know what a core value is? Okay, so when I asked myself that, and I was talking to Fernando yesterday about So what's a core value? And you know, as I think about it, it's the pillars of a house. So we have four pillars of LifeSpring. And when the storms come and trials come, what happens if we have those core values? We can stand. We are strong. And so for me, I want to talk this morning about worship. And as I started thinking about worship, and Fernando and I were talking about it, I think that I might ruffle some feathers this morning. I think that I might make you uncomfortable or make you mad or encourage you or just make you think. And that's my heart. And when I, if I make you mad, come talk to me. If I make you think about things, email me. We are here sharing what we believe the Lord is saying. But you know what? What I'm sharing with you is what the Lord has been challenging me to do. It's a challenge. So I don't have all the answers. I don't know it all. I haven't arrived. I'm a work in progress. But this is what the Lord has been asking me to reexamine in my life. So going into that, I want to read Psalms 95, 1 to 8. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them. Your phone and has a Bible app. Go ahead and do that. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. And his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So, worship. We are all worshipers, and we are good at it. We know how to worship. How does that sound to you? What did you say?
Okay. Let's start the PowerPoint slide. Okay.
Good. Thank you. So, Psalms 156 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you are breathing, what is the mandate? Praise the Lord, right? So if you are a worshiper, it's not because you're a Christian. It's not because you are at church, but it is because we were created by God to worship. So you are a great worshiper. You have done it every day since you were born. Think about it. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So when you look at this scripture, it says, for all things were created through him, right? So all of us were created through him. Everything under heaven was created through him. But what stuck with me was, and for him. So why were we created? Right? For him. So we were created to respond. We are created to respond to the Lord. Is this making sense? We were created through him and for him. And so God initiates and we respond. So he is the God that initiates. He initiated the heavens and the earth by his spoken word, right? And so then we respond to that love and that attention. We respond to things, of things that we value, okay? So what should be embedded in us is to understand the value of God and to understand the value of worship. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that we would receive the revelation about worship. Just a question. Do you understand why were we created? Anyone? To worship him? To do his good works? So, we reflect that value of knowing why we were created by the way we live and what we say. Right? So if we understand our value in him, why we were created, then we express it by the way we live and what we say. It's not worship, it's not the songs we sing on Sunday morning. Worship is not singing. Worship is not only done on Sunday morning. So we're not asking, can we worship or should we worship? But what I'm really asking you is, what are we worshiping? What are we worshiping? And that's a question that I believe the Lord is asking me and wants to ask you. So if we want to answer this question by following the trail of three things: your time, your affection, and your resources. Where or to what do you give your time to? To where or to what? To whom or to what do you give your affection? And who do you give your resources to? So you follow that trail and you will find a throne. And on that throne is what you and I worship: our time, our affection, our resources. We all have 24 hours in a day, 60 minutes in an hour, 60 minutes in an hour, and 60 seconds in a minute, right? We all have the same time, and we all have affection for things, people, and God, and we all, if we are working, have resources that the Lord has given us. So let's pause right now. If you want to close your eyes, I have a couple questions that I would like you to think about. What do you spend your time doing? Is it social media? Is it shopping? Is it sports? Is it drugs? Is it food? Is it games? Think about it. What do you give your time to? What are you most passionate about? What dominates your conversation with people? What keeps your attention? You can open your eyes. You don't have to answer me. You don't have to answer anyone else. This is a cool conversation between you and God. This will be a very interesting conversation if he asks you, where is your attention given to? Am I making you think? Because when he asked me that question, he made me think, where, Judy, is your time going? What is your attention and your affection going to? Where are your resources going? And you know what? I haven't arrived, but the Lord is having me think these things through and through and through. My time defines what I find important. My affection is not just for my husband, but it should be for the Lord. And that's who I need to worship. My resources need to be used for his kingdom and his glory, not just for my wants and not just for my needs. So, the word worship. There's a couple of definitions that I've been working on that I've been, Fernando and I have been talking about. The word worship comes from worth and ship. So when you see that without looking at the rest of that, what do you think of? worth and ship. Anyone? So you give worth to something. You give worth. So the word worship is determining what is worth most in my life. What is worth most in your life? So we say it. What's worth most in our lives? We say it with our money, with our affection, with our attention, with our time, right? We then explain to others and we show the Lord what's important in my life by the time, by the affection, and my resources, what's important. And that's one definition of worship. So what are you intentional about? And I believe that the Lord has been telling me, you're intentional about specific things that are valuable to you. So if some things are valuable to you, that's where you put your thought pattern. That's where you put your attention. That's your intentional to do that. So the Lord is saying, are those things robbing the Lord, robbing me from honoring the Lord, from worshiping the Lord? What's important? What's important to you? What keeps your attention? Is it games? Is it shopping? Is it food? Some of us have an addiction to food. I do. I like candy. I like gummy worms. Those are my favorite candy. And yeah, some people might get grossed out by it. Right, Patty? But again, it's how we respond to our life. And what do we give attention to? What's more important to us? True worship is our heart's affection and our mind's attention set on the Lord. So, is that true? Do we give the Lord priority? Is my heart affection and my mind's attention on the Lord? Is that my priority? And I am going to tell you, I heard the Lord said, I am a jealous God. Not a jealous person. I am a jealous God. I want and desire your attention and your time and your heart. He wants all of my heart. And he gave me the example yesterday when I was writing this. He gave me the example of a bride. So they get engaged. They're in love. They get engaged. The bride is thinking about, give me some ideas. What does the bride think about? The wedding, the cake, her dress, the bridesmaid's dresses, her mother, flowers, colors, food, honeymoon, invitations, the date. What else does the bride think about? The vows. Okay, so she stays busy with the planning of a wedding, correct? Okay, so the Lord said, I am creating the church to be the bride of Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, where should our attention be? In what? In getting ready. In getting ready to become the bride of Christ. He won't come back till that bride is ready. So what's my part when we are the bride of Christ? If I am part of the church and the church is the bride of Christ, what's my part? What do I need to do? Anyone? Get yourself ready. That was the example the Lord told me. It's your attention on me. Are you getting ready? The next definition is worship is our response, both personal and corporate. So it's not just mine. It's personal and corporate to God for who he is and what he has done expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. I'm going to repeat that again. Listen carefully. Worship is a response, our response for personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. That doesn't say singing songs on Sunday morning, does it? Does it anywhere, does it say in there that worship is singing songs? So in this definition, we have to know who God is and what he has done. So personally, when I say, who is God? Who is God to you? Anyone? Who is God to you? Father? Who is friend? Savior? Life? Lover? The way? He's the way? Anyone else? Fernando, did you have a definition of who God is to you? Okay. How about you, Ted? What has he done for you? Saved you? He what? He's given you a purpose? Healed you? Faithful? Strengthen you? Anyone else? Delivered? Forgiven? Gives you hope? Acceptance? Anyone else? Good ears, right? He's a good listener. So, to begin, we start by worshiping God simply because of his character, and then for what he has done. And I've heard a lot of things. I've heard the character of God, and I've heard what he has done. Now, my question to you is this morning, true worship only happens when we merge what we say with what, how we live. True worship only happens when we merge what we say with what we, with the way we live. So our conversation has to match our actions. Our words has to match our doing. So our time, our affections, and our resources have to match what we say God is and what we say he has done for us. Does that make sense? And you know what? I find it sometimes very hard to merge those two. That is the difficult part. To live a life of worship is by matching those two things. Another definition of that I was thinking of worship is, what is the word worship? Worship is a verb. And what is a verb? It's an action, right? Fernando, would you come here? So he just sat here, right? He didn't come when I asked him to come. So it is an action that we need to do to walk towards the Lord. But you know what? He's already walked toward us. I went to him. I wanted to be with him. And so it's an action that we need to do. So he just sat, right? I asked him not to come. I asked him, when I called you, just sit there. So it is my choice to walk towards the Lord. It's an action that requires me to respond to the call of God. It's an action that I have to do. So again, the Lord is here waiting on us, but it's my choice to step into his presence. It's how we respond. So again, worship is an action. So the Lord moves towards us, and it's how we respond, okay? He waits for us. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us, but he's waiting for us. So again, worship is responding to God. Responding to God in a way that says, Lord, here I am. I'm available. Here I am. Do what you want with me. Because we were made by him for him, through him, for him. So when we know what our purpose is, when we know that God created us, then we understand that we need to worship him. Worship is responding to God in an individual level and in a corporate level. And the way that works is the individual way of responding to God is I spend time with him. It's my intimate time with the Lord on a daily basis. It's not coming to church on Sunday and say, I went to worship, but it is meeting with him on a daily basis. It's meeting with him every single day of my life. In a corporate basis, when we respond to God in worship is when we gather together as a church, when we do community together, when we do Bible study together, when we pray together. That is in the corporate level that we worship the Lord. There are times that we don't acknowledge that worshiping the Lord is gathering together. There are times that we don't understand that having a quiet time with the Lord is honoring and worshiping him. And so what I wanted to do this morning was really just touched a little bit this about what worship is. In my heart, I've always looked at worship as I love to sing songs. I love to worship. I can't carry a tune, but I love the Lord and I love to worship. And I love to just sing praises to his name. And so there's that in itself is a act of worship. But that's not all of it. That's not all of it. It's our daily lives to match what we believe in. It's our daily walk to match what we're saying. And today, to conclude, I just want to challenge you. The Lord has challenged me to walk closer to him and to let my conversation match my belief system. So let your conversation match what you are believing. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Regarding worship, regarding the way you viewed worship in the past, I believe he wants to go deeper with you. So my challenge to dip is to ask the Lord, Lord, what area of my life doesn't match what I believe? What area of my life? Is it my conversation? Is it not spending time with you? Is it my prayer time? Where in my life is there a disconnect? And that's where the Lord has challenged me. Hey, Judy, there's a disconnect between your belief. You know, I keep telling, there's times I've told Patty, I said, I would be a great monk. I would spend a lot of time with the Lord alone. I know how to read the word. I know how to pray. But then when I come to meet with people, I struggle. You know what? I'm an introvert. This here, this is not my comfort zone. But I know that when the Lord speaks to me, and it's a word to challenge the church, it's a word to challenge us as individuals, then I want to be obedient to the Lord. So being alone with the Lord is not just for us. Growing in the word and worshiping is not just for us. We are talking about the four core values: the word, worship, warfare, and witnessing. And the way we grow is as we become mature in the Lord, then we want to share what we've learned with others. Then we can witness to every single person that we encounter because we're full of the power of God. We're full of what he's already putting in us. And so we can't stand still. So my challenge to you is ask the Lord. Ask the Lord questions. That's how I started growing. When you ask the Lord questions and you expect the Lord to answer. I would like to end with showing a video of some children in Africa singing a worship song. And as you see it, they don't have any instruments. They just have the music that's playing. They don't have a microphone. They don't have a drum set. They don't have a lot of things. But as you watch them just be desperate for God and just worshiping with all of their heart and all of their strength.
I don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I was born again. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's something bigger than me. Because I've seen in the hospital, and the doctor said sorry. There's nothing more he can do. Well, it wasn't true. I've never seen love.
Had nothing, no instruments, but did you see them just crying out to God? There were some little kids that were in the corner just on their knees. And so let me pray for you and release you. Father, we just, this morning, we want to learn how to worship you with our lives, with our thoughts, with our gifts, with our time, oh God. Father, I just pray that today, Lord, that the word this morning will not fall to ground that is not ready to receive, God. I just thank you that you are teaching us new ways to worship you. Father, you are coming and you are instilling in our hearts, God, to go deeper with you. Father, I know that you are, Lord, pleased with this church and you desire to grow us up to be mature, the mature bride that you desire, the precious bride that you're coming to get when you return. So, Father, this morning, I just thank you and I bless the church, Lord, as they go to do today what you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.